Hey there. Who doesn't love a good story? Stories are the way we make sense of life, including our own. But if we're real, most of us find at least some parts of our story unappealing, maybe hurtful, or even shameful. We all have parts we won't, maybe even can't share with other people. If we're honest, sometimes we wonder if our story is even important enough to tell. We ask questions like, what's the point? Is there anything more to my story than just me and my highs and lows? How's my story going to end? Will anyone even remember it or care? How will I know if it made any difference? What if I told you that someone bigger than us has told a story that's true for every person ever born? A bigger story within which everyone's own personal story is giving meaning and purpose, a point, a reason. A story that even has the power to rewrite those parts of our own personal stories that we don't like, the parts we find hurtful, shameful, even unspeakable. A bigger story that has the power to give any story an amazing death-defying ending. What if I told you that God has written a story like this, and He's more than an idea, a personal belief, a religion, or a spirituality? God is a person. I'm going to repeat this. This is important. God is a person. Just let that sink in. He's a person who relates to us like other persons. We can know Him. And just like we can learn any person's story, we can learn His. Because not only has He given us His story, but He's also invited us to participate in it with Him. That's right. God's story has been unfolding since the beginning of time, and it's still unfolding. He has a story that's bigger than any other story, but one that has a special place for every person's unique story. It's a God-sized story that gives every person's story meaning and purpose. It even has the power to rewrite those parts we would rather forget, hide, or erase. Now, I'm going to be upfront. Anyone can choose to ignore or not believe God's story, just like we can choose to ignore or not believe any person's story. Usually, though, as we get to know a person and start to trust them, it gets harder to just dismiss what they say about themselves. Likewise, God invites each of us to get to know Him and to see for ourselves whether the story He tells is true. So, what's this amazing story? In a nutshell, it goes like this. Way in the beginning, when God created the universe, everything was at peace. What do I mean by that? I mean that humans didn't dominate one another. There was no murder, no violence, no war, no strife. Likewise, non-human creatures didn't dominate one another. No blood, feathers, or fur. There was no predator-prey dynamic, and human beings and the rest of creation existed in harmony. No exploitation of the planet. In a word, perfect peace. God's peace. God put humans in charge of creation, but because He, perfect goodness, was at the center of everything, there was no suffering or death. God provided everything people and the rest of creation needed, and then some. Working from the center of its relationship with God, humanity was free to create culture, to explore and to fill the earth, and in that way to participate in God's creative power. Wow, sounds wonderful, and it was. This is what God intended for us and for His creation, and this intent reflects His goodness and love. God meant for humans to be in relationship with Him, and meant for us to know Him, trust Him, and live in His presence. As long as humanity trusted God, things went according to plan. But because trust isn't trust without the opportunity not to trust. God gave humanity the freedom to choose not to trust Him, but rather to look to other things for what only He could provide. In other words, humans were given the freedom to turn their backs on God's love and provision and choose something else. They were given the freedom to rebel against Him and His goodness. Well, all we need to do is look around us to see that the beginning of the story didn't end well. Humans chose not to trust God and went their own way, and God let them. We all know instinctively that love is not love if it is forced, and real relationship is possible only when both parties freely commit to one another. God freely chose to create and to love us. He's God. He doesn't need anybody. And because God made humans in His image, He gave us the ability to choose not to love Him, to fall out of relationship with Him, to rebel, to say, no thanks, I want something else, something better. I choose this, that, or the other thing. Fill in the blank. You may be wondering, if God loves us, well, why did He let this happen? Why didn't He just stop us from leaving? He's God. He can do anything. Think of it like this. Say Bob loves his wife Jane with all his heart, but Jane decides she'd rather be with someone else and asks Bob for a divorce. Now, Bob may hold out on the divorce for a little while, hoping she might change her mind. But eventually, he gives her what she wants. He gives Jane the divorce despite the fact that his love for her hasn't changed one bit. He knows that despite his love for her, the relationship is over the minute Jane decides to leave. To withhold the divorce wouldn't accomplish anything. In fact, withholding the divorce would negate Bob's love for Jane. He loves her, so he lets her go, with the hope that she might change her mind and return. Same with God. So He lets humanity go, and without God at the center, peace is shattered. Murder, violence, and domination, all things not good, become intertwined with humanity's rule over the planet and its culture-creating power. On top of that, human and non-human creation are no longer in a good relationship. Enter the predator-prey dynamic and human exploitation of the planet. Suffering becomes the norm. Enter hunger, thirst, displacement, and disease. And apart from its life-giving creator, death becomes the inescapable end for all creatures. Humanity gets what it asks for, the opportunity to play God. But, and this is a big but, with this opportunity comes knowledge of what life is like without God. That is, an opportunity to get close and personal with all things not good, not life-giving, and not loving, aka all things evil. So with human rebellion comes knowledge of evil, and because humans are created creatures and limited, just because they want to play God doesn't make them God, they lack the power to fend evil off. Evil has its way, and self-interest consumes them. Look, we know this is true, even for the best of us on the best of days, and it isn't pretty. But because God loves His creation despite humanity's betrayal of Him and His love, He doesn't let the story end there. He goes on to write more chapters that will reverse all of this mess. And He invites every person to freely become part of this one true story. So, God in His love sets about reestablishing trust with humanity by inviting one man named Abraham back into relationship with Him, with the intent of eventually extending this invitation to everyone. God joins Abraham's story to His own, and through Abraham's story shows the world who He is. Remember, God is not a religion or a spirituality. He's a person. And although He's above history, He enters into human history to make us part of his story. He literally shows us who he is. Abraham's family eventually grows into a tribe of people who grow into a nation called Israel, whom God continually seeks to draw into relationship with himself, revealing himself to the world through their history, all with an eye to preparing the world for his coming into it as a person, Jesus of Nazareth, God in flesh and bone. I'll say it again. Jesus is God in flesh and bone. Now, at this point, you may be wondering, why one person Abraham, and then one nation Israel, and then finally the first century Jew, Jesus of Nazareth, God in flesh and bone? I think there are two reasons for this. First, we know every human being lives in a particular place during a particular time. We're historical beings because we're limited in space and time. We don't exist everywhere at every time. So if God, who isn't limited by time and space, since he created these things and in this sense is above them, if he's to reveal himself to us, show us who he is, he has to enter human history in some very particular way. First, through his relationship with Abraham thousands of years ago, then ancient Israel up until the first century AD, and finally and decisively in actual flesh and bone in the person of the first century Jew, Jesus. Second, and this follows from the first reason, God is a person who, like any other person, is all about relationships. He could have sent us a book about himself, but we all know that reading a book about a person is not the same as knowing them. Instead, he chooses to reveal himself to us. We know people well when we are in relationship with them. God could have also sent a book of teachings, how to live life well handbook of sorts, but he didn't. Rather, what we have in the Bible is a collection of writings recording God's real-life relationship with messy, fickle humanity from the very beginning of creation through his dealings with Israel all the way to Jesus, ending with a final chapter describing the end of history and the new creation, how things will be when Jesus returns. So, we have this story of God's relationship with his creation recorded in the Bible, which climaxes in Jesus of Nazareth, literally God in flesh and bone, who comes and lives life as a first century Middle Eastern person. It's in Jesus that everything I've said so far all comes together. Remember I mentioned that Jesus is God in human skin, God in flesh and bone? What I mean is that God literally stepped down into the mess of human history as a human being, coming as a baby, growing into a boy, and finally maturing into a man to literally live with us on this planet and to literally show us who God is. And this is the really wild part of the story. He literally showed us how much God loves us by dying on the cross for us. He didn't just tell us he loves us. He proved it. You see, all these eons of rebellion had hardened humanity to the point where the folks in power were willing to crucify an innocent man just because he dared to call out human rebellion for what it was. Rebellion against the perfectly good Creator God who loves them. And because he dared to offer forgiveness for this rebellion and a way back into a life-giving relationship with God. And just when his executioners thought they had gotten the upper hand, Jesus rose from the dead. Remember I said that this whole mess started when humanity decided it wanted to play God? As a result, humans learned all about life without God. They got close and personal with evil, but had no power to fend it off. With Jesus' resurrection, God literally showed us his defeat of evil and gave us the power to say no to it through his Spirit, which is given to everyone who believes in Jesus. God stepped into history, and Jesus' death and resurrection is a historical fact. It happened and was witnessed by those close to him who wrote it down. The record of Jesus' life that we have in the Bible shows us what life lived with God at the center looks like. And his death and resurrection shows us God's power over evil and death and his ultimate defeat of those powers. With Jesus' resurrection, God shows us that rebellion, evil, and death do not have the final word, not even for us today. You see, the invitation to come back into a right relationship with God that was first extended to Abraham and then through him to the nation of Israel reaches its crowning moment in Jesus, who invites everyone, no matter who they are or what their story is, to leave rebellion behind and come into a relationship with God through him. By trusting in him, by believing what God has accomplished through him, all people can gain access to the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Now, what that means is that when we accept Jesus' story, God's story becomes our story. His is the bigger story within which the story of every person who trusts in him finds a place. Within this bigger story, there's forgiveness and the rewriting of even the most unspeakable parts of our personal stories. There's the power to choose the goodness of God over selfish interests and desires. There's the promise of the fullness of life, both now to the end of history and beyond. With Jesus, we can experience the power of God in our lives today and forever. Within God's story, our individual lives find meaning and purpose. Jesus has already written the final chapter of the story, and that chapter is in the last writing in the Bible. He's coming back to restore the perfect peace that God intended for us and for creation. Jesus is coming back. And when he does, there will be an amazing new earth, including a new heaven, an earth and sky without any scars of exploitation, clean, lush, and fertile, where there is no suffering or death, where all those who have said yes to him will live forever. I'm going to say it again because this is much bigger than all that stuff about going to heaven when you die. When Jesus returns, there will be a new earth, a whole new creation, where all those who have said yes to Jesus will be resurrected like he was and will live forever, not as disembodied souls floating around in the clouds, but as persons with resurrected bodies that never grow old or die. So, in this sense, all of history, in all of its messiness and rebellion, is moving toward a meaningful ending. There is more than what was and what is, and what is to come is way better than anything we could ever hope to bring about through even the best of human efforts to create the perfect government, the perfect society, or some kind of perfect utopia. Let's be honest. Look at history. None of these things ever seem to deliver. All we have is a continual cycle of disappointments and failures. Look, Jesus isn't some kind of utopian dream. He's God, with the power to reverse and rewrite every wrong and every act of evil. When we join our story to God's story, we become part of this new creation, As God writes the chapters between Jesus' death and resurrection and his return, through all those who have joined their stories with his. Through Jesus, we get to be a part of God's story. Jesus is the final chapter of history, and he invites each of us to get to know him, to walk through this life with him, as his story, God's story, unfolds in and through each one of our own unique stories. There's a place for you in God's story. The invitation to an end of history party that will never end is open. Jesus is holding out his hands to you. All you have to do is tell him you're sorry for rebelling and turning your back to him and say, "Yes, Jesus, I want to be part of your story. Yes, Jesus, I want you to set right the mess I've made. Yes, Jesus, I want my story to make a difference." If you would like to hang out with other folks looking to get to know Jesus better, folks wanting to experience God in everyday life, folks who want to hear more about God's story and be part of it, come and see what River of Grace is about. If you want to learn more about God's story, check out godsstoryyouridentity.org for part 2, The Garden.